When she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Do we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Vibe Reality.
Black Vibe Daddy.
And those who love us.
Well, you are watching and are listening to Black Vibe Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Vibe Baddies and those who love us. I am here with Soda. That's how Survivor fans know your full name is Sodaisha, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Thompson. Mm-hmm. And today we're just going to talk a little bit of Survivor, what's approaching, but most importantly, Soda, your music.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. First of all, you and Tevin singing on that beach stays iconic. Iconic. Are we ever gonna get like an official duet? Are you guys staying in contact? What's happening?
You know, we talked about some projects in the past. You know, he's very like busy and like doing a lot of things, and I'm teaching, so we're both like on other sides of the world. But like, hopefully one day it can come together, because we talked about like fleshing out some songs and doing some like a mini little fun album thing. So we'll see. You know, the stars align. We're all in separate parts of the world. You know.
Okay. So where are you, and where is he?
Gosh, he's in the South,
okay. I think,
and I'm in New Jersey, so.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a shock.
Yeah,
a little bit.
A little crazy.
You are an elementary school teacher.
Yes, I'm a special education teacher. This year I'm teaching fifth grade special education.
All right, are you back to school yet?
September 3rd, but I've been in and out of my classroom for the past couple days, you know, curriculum and setup and all that stuff, so I'm basically back, but I'm at the beach right now, so.
Nice. I was about to ask, has any of the kids, like, if they even know what Survivor is, if it'll ever come up, are you anticipating any of that?
I might, just a little bit. My last year's class, when they found out, they were going nuts, like crazy. So I expect like little to maybe none this year, because those fourth graders like didn't really know me, and now they're mm-hmm. my fifth graders. So
yeah.
Clean slate.
Clean slate. We love to see it. Do you have your teacher list done? Because that's something we can shout out and put it in the description.
I don't even, I'm so used to doing everything by myself that like I just buy it.
Soda, you were on Survivor.
I know.
I know you weren't paid that much.
No,
to
I
just
wasn't.
So whoever's still following, get Soda's teaching list done if it's anywhere public, or support. Her song is on YouTube. Just listen to that over and over. Subscribe so we can get that and everything. But yeah, that's all great. All right. It was no time, because CBS is wild, because literally when one Survivor season ends,
mm-hmm.
we get a preview of the following.
Is a completely blank page right now. I want to come here and really be one of those big name players that people are saying we want to see this guy.
People look at me as an underdog. That's Miss Delaware or whatever. She has nothing more to her. And I'm like, I'm a big dog.
So it's very weird, because we don't have themes anymore.
Right.
Yeah. But
you have like sneaky themes in there. Like you'll see an animal or something embedded in all over the place. But yeah, I do miss the themes. I do think that for Survivor 50, I do think they're gonna have a theme, because the reason I predict this is because a lot of Survivor fans have been talking about the things that they miss from old era.
Yes.
They're bringing back returners and meshing it into this new era, which is really interesting and fresh. I predict that there has to be a theme, whether it's like old school versus old era versus new era, battle of the era, whatever it is. I think with that, we're going to see some like zest. But I do like I see some little ideas of things in the 47 preview, like there's like tools, lots of mm-hmm. tools and chiseling.
Wielding.
And wielding. A lot of the players talk about carving their own path. So I think forging their own path. So I do see some themes present in their language and in the visuals. So I'm excited, honestly.
Yeah. And the cast, like the cast, we have a few podcasters on there.
Oh yeah? I'm not in the podcast world.
Okay. So the main biggie, and he's already done so much promo for this new season.
Yeah.
Of Pod Save America.
Yeah, see, I've heard his name a bit, and he's apparently super notable, and like now he's on this, and it's a whole big thing apparently.
Mm-hmm. I knew about Pod Save America. I've heard his name and everything, but I still never really like had a face to it. I didn't watch or anything, mm-hmm. and it's very fun because also I didn't know he also owned that whole podcast network.
Wow.
So he's not just a podcaster. He's like a king in the podcast world, I guess.
But I wonder how that'll affect him going in.
Exactly. It seems a lot of lowering his threat level. He's talking about, you know, I was in the Boy Scouts and I like, did he say I cried or I threw up?
Something like that. And did he say something about somebody having to come pick him up or was
yes.
it? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, no, he's definitely
down.
He's going
far.
Mm-hmm. I'm really happy about I'm rooting for everybody black. Like, that's a default mode for me with any reality TV show. So, like, I didn't even really look into the cast too much because also having played, I mean, the game is designed for you to profile people. And I don't mean, like, racially profile people. I mean, it's designed for you to look at somebody and think they're going to go far or they're not. Like, you're just judging them, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to... Now that I have this new perspective, I'm trying to pull back on that. And I'm just trying to see what everybody can do based on what they say, you know, these little clips from these things. And then also as a baseline, I'm rooting for anybody black, because in reality TV, you kind of have to do that, because we really, and Tevin said it best when he was talking, he did another discussion somewhere else. He did it on his live. He was talking about the fact that like, we just come in with, I don't want to sound cliche, but like the weight of the world, like our experience is very, it's very particular. So we're kind of like, we are hyper aware of every little thing because we've always had to be. So I'm automatically rooting for like TK, like even Anika, like all of them, like Kishan, like Asia, like, and everybody's in love with Asia. So me too.
Everyone is loving Asia. Asia over at Rob Has a Podcast. I was like, Twitter went crazy over that one.
Mm-hmm.
It very much feels like one of our own.
Yes, you see her and you literally see one of us. And that's why I'm like, I'm proud of her. Any one of them I'm proud of playing, but like her in particular, where I see like my little sister or like, you know, me, it's like, I'm proud of you because the amount of permission you have to give yourself to play and to succeed and to fail is staggering when you're someone like Asia in particular, when you're a black woman who looks like her, you know?
Yes. I really wonder what her strategy is going to be. I have no clue what kind of game player, but obviously she knows this game very well. She has picked it apart for years podcasting. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. It can go any way with the super fans. Would you have called yourself a super fan before going on Survivor?
A super fan? No. A fan? Yeah, definitely. Like I started binge watching after 2020, New Year's Eve. My friend would just pad the episode up. I think it was co-rung when Caleb got like heat stroke or something like that and had to be medevaced. I was like, what is this? Weird way to get turned on to a show, but I was like, what's happening? And then from there in 2020, I started just watching and binging it. And then the new era happened. I was like, whoa, we're moving in a whole new direction. So I definitely, you know, had an appreciation for just the premise of the show and the challenges. I love the auction and the reward, seeing people just like,
look. Yeah. They're blending.
Yeah, 45 did the auction.
Dang. Okay.
I know.
So close.
I know. I would have loved that. I envisioned winning like spaghetti bolognese and red wine during the auction.
I know that some people, I think Izzy Gleacher said that she knew one of the queer people that's in the cast from just doing Survivor events, which I assume a lot of like applicants have done before. Yeah. Did you do any of that and like talk to any Survivor people before? Okay.
Not I. I wonder who she's talking about, though. One of the girls I do recognize, Rachel, because she was an alternate. So I do recognize her. But that's like, you know, people knew who we, man, I landed back and my face was literally on the internet. Like, I literally, like, within a week, it was crazy. So you could see her in the list from last year. So that's, I recognize. I'm excited for her too, Rachel, not gonna lie. I hope that she does really well because she seems like the type that can do well. And maybe I'm profiling a little bit, but she gives me like Aubrey like vibes a little bit. So
okay. I mean, that's all we have to go on until we hear more from them. So right. I think it's a little fair to just go off of what we know.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. How are you feeling approaching a new season of Survivor?
You know, I'm feeling good to pass the torch. I feel for this new cast, though, because it's just, it's one of those things where you just don't know until you know it, you know? Like, people could sit and talk all the smack they want about everything. You have no idea what it's like. You have no idea how to deal with people online and to have a full-time job while watching yourself on TV and, like, deal with everybody asking you the same 10 million questions over and over and over again, just feeling stressed out every week, wondering what the edit is going to show. Because it's not going to be reality, I'll tell you that. 60% of it is reality, and the rest of it's like made-up stuff that they created. So I just feel for them. I hope that they have had a good experience. I hope they preserve that experience they had while they were out there and just the awe and the adventure of it all. I hope they just write about it and they just tuck it in their brain as it was. Because when it comes on TV, it's not going to be as you remembered it. And it's going to complicate your feelings towards each other. It's going to complicate your feelings towards the show. So it is a very complicated process. So I really just feel for them. And it's not to be like a Debbie Downer. It's just multifaceted. Yeah. It's just, you know, complicated.
Yeah. I feel like that was kind of a little, that's like a running theme. There's so many weeks. There's so many weeks meeting that so many things can happen and what people will or will not forget and all of that. Do you have any advice in case any of those people are watching this or their friends and family of just how to deal with, okay, the season's now out.
Right. I would just say, like, a lot of grace. Like, a bunch of people are going to tell you, like, don't go on Reddit. You're going to go on Reddit. Or don't listen to it. Like, you're going to read the memes. This is your first time. You're in a big light. Give yourself grace to consume whatever you need to consume. But just remember who you were before the game. The you who was capable of doing life. And just a super productive, hardworking person that a bunch of people love. And rely on your safety net, your family, check in with them, have them remind you of who you are when a TV show is trying to tell you different than that, even if it's just a slight little thing, you know what I mean? Everything feels a lot bigger during this time. So you need a lot of grace. You need the closest people to just even sit with you and remind you who you are and vent and feel and look at everything. I will say I did the one thing I absolutely put my hard line on was Twitter, because Twitter is a totally different platform and people are just mean. There are like 15, 14 year old kids who like want to be bullies behind profiles, like saying really mean stuff that it's like really not a good platform, or X or whatever you're calling it. I would be very careful of Twitter and us not going back and forth with people, because it will rob you. I'm looking directly into camera. It will rob you. I mean, I spent maybe 2-3 days on there and people started to say goodbye. Goodbye. Fully. I haven't been back since, because
I love that. No, you did that. No. I love it.
So that's the one thing.
I think that's all great advice. Moving in to your music.
I'm really excited. I just released my single, Ricochet, which is actually a song I wrote when I was 15 years old. But obviously, like, I didn't have the means to, like, record it, produce it, like, the way it is now. But it was, like, a rinky-dink little love song I wrote to, like, nobody when I was 15, and now I get to rededicate it to my husband, which is really cool.
Okay, that's what I was about to ask. I was like, you met your husband at 15.
No.
But you two guys look like you were very young at the beginning of your relationship. When did you meet your husband?
I met him in 2017. I was 21 and I had just turned 21 and he had just turned 20. He came from Brazil. Yes, children. He came from Brazil to work at my summer camp that I worked at because we would hire international staff. And then, like, you know, he reached out to me. Like, camp starts in June. He'd reached out to me around, like, February. Was like, hey, I'm going to come work at this camp with you. And I was like, who is this dude with cornrows in my inbox? Like, messaging me, talking about he come work at camp. I opened his Facebook profile. I said, oh, I'm marrying that man. 110%. So we started talking and FaceTiming eventually. I was like, oh, I'll help you with your English. Because, you know, he's studying English or whatever. And then, like, we started dating by April. We started just, like, spending hours on the phone together. And then he came in June and he stayed. And we got married, like, maybe 6 months later, something like that. I've been together 7 years. It'll be in November now. So
I love that. Do you know Portuguese?
I do. I'm fluent in Portuguese, yeah.
Were you fluent before him?
No.
That's love. That's love.
I had to. I have a crazy mother-in-law to get to know.
Now, so, okay, I love that you wrote this at 15 because I genuinely think Ricochet is so good. So,
thank you.
Polishing it off, I mean, I'm a writer, so I've been there. What's the process of taking an older song that you did years ago and then deciding to do with it? Like, how much judging did you do of the lyrics and all that?
First of all, I didn't have access to the original platform that I had made because I made the track from scratch, like the backing track. I made it using, you know, a little MIDI, you call it a MIDI keyboard, which is basically a mini piano that hooks up to programs like Logic Pro, GarageBand, stuff like that. And you can basically, you can make your own beats, they call it rhythms, whatever you know, need to lay down. So I did that, and I recorded my vocals into it, but I didn't have access to this original. So I reached out to this producer that I met fully online on Instagram. Like, we'd never met in person. And I was like, hey, like, can you take this song and can you recreate the backing track for me and just bring it into this, you know, decade and make it more modern and sound cool? And he was like, yeah, and I can mix your vocals too. And I was like, okay, cool. So in a day, I'm not even kidding, in a day, he took this track because it was on YouTube, you know, the original one. He took this track. He recreated it all on his own. It sounded amazing. And then so in my home studio, which is not really a studio, it's a microphone and a blanket to cancel all the sounds.
Yeah. Look where I'm at right now.
Right. Exactly. It's literally that. I recorded my vocals. I kept the lyrics the same. You know, some of the ad-libbing changed. The harmonies changed. My voice is, you know, a little grown so I can do a little different things than I could do when I was 15. And so we did this completely digitally. Like, I never stepped in a professional studio to do any of this. So the process overall took, I want to say, like, maybe a month or, like, maybe two. And it's only because I got sick and I had pneumonia for, like, a minute. So
when you say bring it into this new era, did you give any, like, music inspiration for what you hoped it sound like, or was based on the original?
I, like, sometimes I don't know what I like until I hear it. You know what I mean? So, and he's really, really good at what he does. So I'm really happy with how it turned out, honestly.
Nice. What's his name again? It's on the lyric video. I know that.
Yeah, Obanga is his, like, it's his professional title name.
Nice.
Really cool. He's a cool person.
What other music are you working on right now?
Honestly, I like to do, like, mashups for fun and stuff. I'm not, like, writing anything new right now. But I do have some ideas for some, like, pop, jazz, fusion, like, soul ballads, just stuff. I just, like, music is fun for me. It's a hobby. Like, the fact that this project happened is a miracle, because this was based on something that I did for fun when I was young. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I don't see, like, I'm not an artist who makes albums or makes singles and yes. just like is trying to be like, look at me and all that. Like, I do music for fun, and whoever enjoys it, I make more for myself and for them by extension, because they're around and they like it. And, you know, this was just one of those things for me. This is me having fun and hoping that people enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I absolutely love that. I mean, like, that's kind of like, this podcast is part of my career, but it's like, I'm just having on like these Black queer people mostly just to have fun, because I like admire what you just said earlier about Black women and Black people in general on reality TV and how it's so different.
I just sing all the time. Like, one of my friends told me that being with me is like flipping through channels on a TV, because I'll literally just start randomly singing or quoting shows. It's probably stimming. I'm probably just stimming.
It's absolutely stimming. I'm like, it absolutely is. Yes, that's just me and my partner all day. Mm-hmm. All day. What's like your go-to stim song?
Like any song from like SpongeBob or like R&B. R&B stuff, or like sound bites from SpongeBob. Like, I will literally just stim on those all day.
Are you ADHD at all?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know I have anxiety, but like that's just that's a diagnosed. I have like diagnosed PTSD from growing up in my childhood home, basically, and a lot of the things I experienced there. So I do know that my brain is different, but I've never been diagnosed with like ADHD, probably because I've always been very high functioning, and I've always had like good grades, and I've always just been able to organize myself in a certain way. But I definitely stim a lot.
I feel you. I feel you on all of that. I'll say that.
Life, man.
But we're getting through. We're getting through. My other question is, do you anticipate Survivor affecting your songwriting and changing your songwriting in any way? Because I would think but as an artist, any experience you go through, whether you know it or not,
It impacts you. Like, I've been working on some other projects that aren't music related. That is really exciting. But I don't know. I've always been someone, I feel like, who feels a lot of stuff, like, all the time. You know what I mean? And I'm very unfiltered. And so this experience kind of just elevated that, you know what I mean? So I guess in a way, you know, it does allow for a bit more introspection, a bit more reflection, but that's stuff that I was already kind of doing, you know what I mean? So I guess when you phrase it the way you phrased it, then sure, it's going to have an impact on how I feel when I'm singing, or maybe what I write about, maybe, but I just, not negatively. It's not going to be negative.
I was just going to say, maybe it's my toxic trait, but I feel like as a writer, I immediately, after I go through an experience, I'm like, so how do I put this into art in some form to get it like out of me? So I think that's just like my assumption then for other creatives.
Why is that a toxic trait? That is literally the purpose of art. You know what I mean? That's literally the purpose of art. It makes people feel felt. You know what I mean? So yes, I think that's really important.
I agree. I don't know. I guess depends on what kind of writer you are about talking about your personal experiences, because I feel like we've seen so many times in pop culture of like a writer writing about their experiences, and then of course people who are also there have something to say about their version, and it's like, okay, but then you should write your own thing to give your version.
Correct.
Yeah. That's all. All right, so what are you hoping to see in this next season? I know we've talked more about, like, being excited for them, feeling for them, but, like, are there any specific challenges you hope to see back? We didn't really get to see much. There were tall, colorful bars, which only makes me think of the time that the castaways had to pull the snake over them. Mm-hmm. which looks so tiring.
Yeah, it's probably super. And if it's anything like that lizard.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that that obstacle course, like full forest thing I saw was really cool. That's a little old school right there where they had to like take things and like go in and retreat, climb a wall, retrieve a flag, come back. There was like a, the course was spread out over like miles. Like that's cool. Yeah, no, I honestly, I'm just super open like to seeing like what they're going to do with what they're given, honestly. So
nice. Now we already kind of touched on Survivor 50, but of course something that everyone is talking about is who's gonna come back. Is there anyone you're hoping to see yourself?
I think I'd love to see Carla from 43, Keturah from 45. I'd love to see Kelly Wentworth. Would love to see Wentworth go play again. I just like her attitude.
Yeah.
I like her matter-of-factness. I just love how she attacks things. And she doesn't let, like, men, like, bulldoze over her and tell her what she's going to do. She's not, like, prim and pristine. And, no, she's, like, very tough. Owen. I'd see, oh, Jonathan. I'd like to see Jonathan play again from 42.
Okay.
Shan from 41, I'd like to see play again. She low-key could have won that.
She has to be.
Thing, bro.
She has to be on that list.
Noelle, too. Noelle Lambert, okay. Love to see her play again.
Do you want to go back?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're good for life, or you think?
I'm good for life. Put me on the Amazing Race, though. Anytime, any day.
Yeah. Who would you do Amazing Race with?
Oh, my husband, for sure.
Does he watch it with you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. What do you think you guys would be strong at and weak at on Amazing Race?
We'd probably be strong at, like, the choices of challenges. Because the Amazing Race is honestly more about the strategy and choosing which detours and how to caddy corner. Not caddy corner, sort of... trade off who's doing what types of challenges. We both exercise, like we're both, you know, good drivers, you know. I think it's more about the strategy of choosing certain challenges and stuff like that, for sure.
I would love that. Have you applied?
Yeah.
Nice. All right, I'm gonna cross my fingers.
Cross my fingers.
I will definitely watch. I have taken some breaks from Amazing Race.
Oh, it's really good.
I know it is. There's so many shows.
Yeah.
That's just the story of my life right now.
I watched Love Island. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you following PPG across socials?
I love PPG. PPG back on top.
Janae just released a YouTube video showing Kenny asking her to be his girlfriend. So if you want to see that, what was favorite moment from that season?
Whatever you heard about me, times it by a million. If you think it's bad, make it worse. That was my favorite.
Why can you do Leah's voice so well?
I love impressing people. I do impressions for fun, too. I can do Stewie from Family Guy. Yes, she does. And she's very raspy. She's like, Corda. Like, she's very, like, she's like a baby. But she's very cute. Fucking Leah is my favorite. I think she's hilarious.
She's really funny.
She's now, you're sitting three home and you're still here, bitch, in your overalls. Now what?
It's so scary how well you can do that. Shout out to Leah.
Shout out to Leah.
This was so fun. I am so happy that we were able to connect. I hope we're able to connect again, maybe more. And yeah, so where can people follow you and all the things?
Follow me on Instagram. That's really the main thing I use. There's my link tree to all my music and stuff and new projects to come. I'm really super excited about it. Thank you to everybody who's Club Soda forever. who stayed, and there's lots of giveaways and stuff coming up too. I've been giving away like lots of things lately, so like I'm probably gonna do another bead giveaway because people really love that, and I just like sharing all my, I'm gonna end up with no survivor stuff eventually, so I'm just gonna give it all away. So
wow, I will. And guys, this is Nicole, your host of Black by Reality. If you can please follow Black by Reality across all socials. We will be recapping Survivor 47, so I'll try to get castaways on for each episode for that. And this week we're wrapping up Love is Blind UK to talk about the reunion. I just published Brooklyn's interview for Big Brother 26, so you can catch all that good stuff. And bye-bye for now.
Thanks, girl, for having me.
Of course.